So you may not know this about me. I used to be a really angry person. I used to be filled with a lot of anger. I even had rage. And some things could just set me off like super quick. And I'd be super angry. I was like just ready to get lit and blow up like a short fuse dynamite guy. And I hurt a lot of people with my anger. And I didn't really know like why I was angry or like what was going on. And then as I began to follow Jesus, what Tim was talking about, Jesus began to work in my heart and he began to show me, you're angry for all these different reasons, like all this stuff that has been done to you or you've done and you just messed up a ton. And what I learned, my anger, like it really affected my communication with people and my tone with them and how I'd communicate or come at people. And as the Lord began, Jesus began to transform my heart, he began to remove those roots of anger and it began to transform my communication. And you can talk with Meredith, we married for 13 years this year, and beginning of our marriage, I still had that anger issue. And it was probably like, I don't know, 5 years in, Jesus set me free, like tangibly set me free. And there was a shift in my life that took place as I was really seeking him for freedom. And it's one of the ways we build strong families is we have healthy communication. And in our marriage, we've both grown a ton in our communication, coming from our family backgrounds and just kind of opposite communication styles. I was very direct. Meredith was very reserved, and we had to learn how to communicate. We had to put in a lot of hard work in our marriage and a lot of hard work individually. And I told you part of my story, just of the anger issues that I had. But it's totally worth it. Healthy communication in your marriage is totally worth it. Healthy communication in your family is totally worth it. Healthy communication with your colleagues at work, with your friends, like it's totally worth it. But we have to put in that hard work. So I want us to look in the scriptures today, how do we build strong families around healthy communication? So if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open up to James chapter 1. So James chapter 1. And if you want to grab a paper Bible, you're welcome to grab one at our table over there. If you brought your phones, you can use your phone too. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. So James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. And as you read the scriptures, look at what are words or phrases that are sticking out to you. And often when those things jump out at you, it's the Holy Spirit highlighting something. He wants to specifically speak into your heart and in your life. And as you read it, kind of what are the main themes going on as you read different paragraphs or sections? What is the big idea here that God is wanting to communicate to me through the scriptures? And how do I apply this to my life? So look at James chapter 1. Verses 19 through 27. So take a read of those, and we'll come back in a few minutes and break that down together. And another reason we take time every morning to read the scriptures like this is that we're training how to read the scriptures so that when you go, you know, Monday through Saturday, you can open up the scriptures yourselves and learn how to read them and get God's word inside of you. So we'll start in here, James 1:19. We'll read this through together. So understanding this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be righteous but don't control your tongue, you're foolish. You're fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God as the Father means that it's caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. So this section of scripture is super powerful because it gives us God's design for healthy communication. It gives us God's design for healthy communication. How many of you have been I know we've all had different work situations. Have you been at work and, you know, either your supervisor's talking to you, another employee's talking to you, and you're like, I know you're wrong. And you already have in your head what you're going to say to them, and you stopped listening to them like 30 seconds ago. Has anyone ever done that before? Almost everyone's hands went up for some rush, right? Yeah. And so God shows us a healthy design for communication. And if you caught this, He says, be quick to listen. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That is the total opposite of how we operate as normal human beings if we're just kind of going and doing our own thing, right? And so God wants us to build strong families and to build strong relationships through our healthy communication. So be quick to listen. One of the ways that I found that helps me learn how to be quick to listen is a simple phrase. If you walk with anything, today, this is the main thing. If you walk with this, this literally can transform your life. Is tell me more. If you just so tell me more, or can you help me understand? I remember when we did our one of our outreaches down at downtown LA, and Sandra, you might have been there for this. We were on Olvera Street, and there was this guy, and he just was arguing at me about religion, and I think he was waiting for me to fire back, and I just said, hey, what you said here was really interesting. Can you tell me more about that? You should have seen his face. He was so disarmed. He was like, he like jaw dropped because he was waiting for some other, you know, some Christian to just fire back and argue with him. But years ago, I just learned, like, I don't argue with people anymore, especially in religion conversations. It's just like, tell me more about that. And with people to seek to understand and to be curious. For people are doing, and so it's not about being right. It's about connecting with people, because at the end of the day, people simply want to be heard and want to be understood. So if we take the time to ask people, hey, tell me more about what's going on, people will open up and share their hearts with you, and they'll be disarmed. And also says be slow to speak. So speak second. So Jesus says, out of the overflow of your heart, our mouth speaks, in Luke 6:45. So if we really want to know what's going on in our communication, if we're having some challenges with people, Jesus says it's actually a heart issue. So it's what's going on in your heart that is causing your communication challenges or positivities. So in Proverbs 18:21, it says that the tongue has the power of life and death. And so when we speak words, we either produce life or we produce death. And these can carry blessings or curses. So when you think about it, like if you grew up and your parents said things about you, like, oh, like, hey, you're, I don't even want to say the word, but said like negative things about you to you, those can actually shape your identity and how you view yourself, and you can carry curses. So it's really important that the words we say to our kids or to our spouses or to our colleagues at work or to our family, they have the power to actually shape people's lives when you speak them, for the power of life and the power of death. And so if you're like, man, how do I learn about my communication to be more effective in that, in God's way of communication, God's design? The book of Proverbs has so much about communication, from Proverbs chapter 1 to 31. And if you read that and you allow God's word to shape you, it'll help you in your communication. I read Proverbs chapter a day for 6 years, and I learned about communication. You want to know the number one thing I started doing that I changed? I just stopped speaking so much. I just started speaking way less. And I probably dropped, 40 to 60% of my speaking. I realized, man, I was just talking at people, but not listening to people very well. And that really changed me. And it says here, be slow to anger. This is helpful for me to understand what's anger. Anger is simply an emotional indicator that you've been wronged or experienced a perceived wrong. So anger is simply an emotional indicator that you've been wronged or experienced a perceived wrong. So when you're angry, like, that's normal. Like, when you get angry, that's totally normal to be angry. It's like, what do we do with our anger in response to that? Because if you notice, anger affects our communication. It says it here in the scriptures, and I share that story with me too. And so if you're angry, just ask yourself, like, why am I angry? Because my guess is somebody probably wronged you. And if they didn't wrong you, you might have perceived you've been wronged. But either way, Jesus wants us to forgive those people. So if you have anger issues, the core of our anger issues, to resolve those is simply to forgive people. And I told you my story when I got free from anger. Like, it was literally a stronghold in my life. And I was bound to anger. But then I began to really forgive people I had to forgive parents for doing stuff. I had to forgive stuff where I was abused when I was a kid. I had to forgive that. I had to forgive religious leaders that had hurt me. And then there was this moment where, I remember I was in prayer on my face in our apartment. I was in seminary. And I'd received prayer the day before to be set free from anger. And then that next morning, I was just in prayer. And I just saw this image of, it was like a stronghold being broken. It was like something was removed from me and put in a cage in another place. And from that point on, anger lost its hold on me. Like, it literally lost its hold, where I was no longer angry like I used to be. And it was powerful. This is what I learned from my anger in a positive way, right? Anger contaminates and clouds our judgment. Anger really contaminates and clouds our judgment. When we're angry, man, we're not thinking straight. And when we make decisions or say things, when we're cooled down, we're like, man, what did I say? What did I do? And so we have to get rid of what causes our anger. That, not anger in a sense, like we get angry at certain things, but if we have this deep-rooted anger, why is it rooted there? Jesus wants to take up that root from your life. And if you notice, it says, plant God's word in your heart, it'll save your souls. So you want to uproot the reasons you have your anger, and then plant the word of God in you, because the word of God will transform you from the inside out. And I want to tell y'all, I try to be vulnerable up here to see y'all can see, like, I'm just a normal person like you. I'm just following Jesus, and he's asked me to be in this role. Yesterday was a hard day for me. My family's been sick for like 3 weeks, and then my wife's been sick this week. And so I've been, you know, trying to do church planting and then take care of my family and do all this stuff. And trying to pack the vehicle, and my kids are having some challenges, and I didn't eat right. And it was just like, man, it's one thing after another. And I did something that I've really made a commitment to not do. I raised my voice at one of my kids. And you may be thinking, Jared, you raise your voice, that's not like a big deal. For me, with the context I grew up in, like, I was, the communication was so damaging for me. I said, one choice I make, I'm not gonna raise my voice. I raised my voice at one of my kids, and afterwards I was like, oh. I was crying, because I was like, man, I did something. I was like, I made a commitment I did not want to do. So with one of my kiddos, sat with them. And the best thing you can do after you hurt a relationship is to repair. So for me, I was the offender, right? And so I needed to go, and there were things going on, right? But you can't blame other people for what we do. Like, we got to take responsibility for ourselves. I didn't even say, like, you did this. I just said, hey, I'm really sorry. Like, I raised my voice, and I shouldn't have done that. That isn't who I want to be as your daddy. And I ask that you forgive me. My kiddo forgave me, and then said, what can we do to help this? Can you just hold me? To help my kid for a bit. And my anger got in the way, and it was totally my fault. And it says that anger doesn't bring about the righteous life that God desires. He didn't want me to treat my kiddo that way. He wanted me to treat my kiddo with communication that was kind and respectful, right? And so anger clouds our judgment, gets in the way. I think what I could have done is I could have just went outside, took a deep breath. And again, like, I was solo, like, my wife is super sick, so I'm trying to put everything together. And what we do is we bounce back, right? We bounce back, go apologize, make it right, and do those things that Jesus would want us to do. Healthy communication ultimately is a heart issue and a learned skill. And you can tell him, God's still working on my heart. I'm still learning to communicate better. So look here at verse 22 through 25. But don't listen to God's word. Don't just listen to God's word. Do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. If you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself and walk away, and you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law, it sets you free. If you do what it says, don't forget what you heard. Then God will bless you for doing it. Jesus, he's lining us up for success with our communication. So he's giving us the power of his word to live God's design for communication. If you look at this, it says, look carefully into the word. So the Greek here, if you want to break this down and nerd out for a second, it says to bend down, to examine, to understand, or gain insight. So you actually have to bend down and examine it. You get really close. So when you read the scriptures, think about this. Are you bending real close to examine the word? Because the more you examine it, the more it'll get into your heart. And when you bend down, that's an attitude of humility. So when you humble yourself before the Lord and study the word will get in your heart, and it'll transform you. I've heard this phrase and it's been helpful for me. A lot of times when people study the word, they try and master the word. They try and, you know, learn everything about it and you know, be over the word and try and study it and master it. But what God actually wants us to do is he wants us to put the word on top of our head where it masters us. And so instead of us trying to master the scriptures, he wants the scriptures to master us. Now, we got a good looking church here. So I know you all look in the mirror every day. You get your hair all good. You trim up your beard and, you know, you're ready to go. And y'all don't forget what you look like, 'cause y'all look great. But in this scripture, it says, hey, when someone does this, they look in the mirror and they forget. It's like reading the word and then like just forgetting it and moving on with your life. But this is what I want us to do as a church. Look in the mirror and remember who God says you are. Because at the end of the day, it's all about identity. Because if it says anger doesn't bring about the righteous life that God desires, then his desire is for us to live a life where we have interact with our anger in a healthy way. And we resolve it in a healthy way with other people in our communication. And the reason this is because we're his daughters and we're his sons. And he wants us to reflect who he is. And so as we grow into his likeness, when you look in that mirror, what God wants you to say is, and I am a daughter of the King. I am a son of the King. And when you begin to believe that about yourself, about who you are, who God says you are, then you'll be transformed in your heart from the inside out. So you have to be thinking about, how do you get God's word in you? So there's a lot of different ways you can do this, and kind of just whatever fits you best. One of the best ones is to read the scriptures, to read them every day. And take time in either the morning or the evening, what works best for you, and go deep in the word. How many of y'all commute to work? How many of y'all drive? Yeah, and so what you could do is you could throw in your audio Bible, and you can listen to the word and get it inside of you. You can write out the word. Anyone like to journal here? Any journalers? You journalers, yeah, you can write out the scriptures as well. You can pray the scriptures too. You can pray the scriptures that you're reading in the word, and then you can share the word too. You can talk about it with your family members, talk about it with your coworkers. And the more you get this in you, the more you'll be transformed. And if you caught this in the last verse, if you do God's word, you actually come under God's blessing. How many want to live under God's blessing? Right? All of us do. And remember, if you are the one who's getting blessing, everyone under you also gets blessed. So your kids get blessed. People that you supervise at work, they get blessed. So see yourself as someone who you're a spearhead, and you are the one who brings breakthrough for other people in your span of care. Take a look at this last part here in verse 26. It says, if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God and Father means caring for the orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. This is super insightful because your tongue is your spiritual indicator. Your tongue is your spiritual indicator. If you want to know where you are spiritually, listen to what your tongue is saying to people and listen to how it is saying it to people. I did this last year. I asked a few close friends and some people like mentors and stuff. I asked them for honest feedback about my communication. And I went to people who I knew would tell me the truth. And I got some really honest feedback about my communication areas I need to grow. One of them was my tone. I think it's when I get angry or emotional state, like my tone switches and it isn't very kind. So that was one of the things I worked on last year. So if you want to get a spiritual indicator of your tongue, I'd encourage you this week, if you want to take this challenge, ask your spouse, girlfriend, fiance, a mentor, a trusted friend, someone you work with, maybe your employer, supervisor, or colleague you work with, and ask them for honest feedback about your communication. If you're willing to do that, you have so much opportunity for growth. It'll be transformation. And the idea is that if you have a transformed communication, it means you have a transformed heart. And that is your spiritual indicator. How many of you have ever done this communication and relationship killer, gossip and slander? Anyone ever done that? Man, a lot of our hands, right? When we talk about people and we shouldn't be talking about them or saying things that aren't true about people, man, these are communication killers and relationship killers. It kills a relationship with the person that you're speaking things about, and it also kills your relationship with God. So it harms our relationship with God. And here's something really powerful. If you can grasp this, you'll be like, I'm gonna commit to not gossiping and slandering ever again. Satan takes your gossip and your slander and he uses it. He destroys relationships. Because remember, it says in Proverbs 18:21 that your tongue has the power of life and death. Where do you think the death comes from? Because it says in John that Satan, the thief, comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes to give abundant life. And so Satan actually takes your words and he uses them against people when we slander and we gossip, and he destroys that relationship. And, you know, there's been times I've had to learn this lesson too. I know all of us have had workplaces, situations when you're like, you get frustrated at someone at work for doing something they should do or whatever's going on, you don't agree with them. And then you go and you quote unquote, you process with someone in your work environment, right? And that's that relationship killer, that gossip and slander comes in there. Because if you listen to your tone when you're talking about that person or what's going on. I was meeting with someone in discipleship at Starbucks like 2 weeks ago. You know when people have their phones on their speakerphone inside their car, we can hear everything that's going on inside their car? Yeah. Man, this person was filled with so much bitterness. You could hear it in the person's voice. And I was like, whoa, I even stopped and said to me, like, do you hear the bitterness in that person's voice? Again, your tongue is your spiritual indicator of where your heart is at. And so what I would encourage us to do, our workplaces, our families, you know, and enrich, is if you got to process something, first, go talk to the person. If you have an issue with them, scripture says go and talk to them if you have an issue. Or if you need to process, get an outside perspective. Find someone in your life who's not connected to that situation in any way and process with them, and that'll keep it healthy. Because the likelihood is if they're connected, we're going to spread emotional and spiritual contamination in that person's heart. And we want to protect people's hearts. And when you process with someone in an outside situation, get honest feedback from them about yourself in the situation. It's so worth it because Proverbs 27:6 says that the wounds of friends can be trusted. So you can go to a friend, if they're going to tell you the truth, if that wound, man, I had my friend, or my brother-in-law who's my friend, this past week we were on the phone, and he's like, Jared, last year, like, you weren't in a good spot. Like I was going through some serious challenges. And he's like, yeah, your mental state, even your physical state, like I saw you just not looking the best. You weren't the best. I was like, man, I was going through it. When he said it though, that hurt. It like really hurt my heart when he told me that. But I was like, dude, you're right. I wasn't in the best spot. So that truth that stings actually produces life. And another tip too, when you process with someone, if they automatically take your side and condemn the other person, be cautious. We want to be able to hear truth from people about ourselves. So your tongue reveals the condition of your heart, and a changed tongue produces care for the vulnerable. It talks about caring for the widows and the orphans. So if you have this heart to take care of people who are most vulnerable, that's a condition of your heart, and you'll probably notice people that do that, their tongues are probably filled with compassion and with mercy. So a changed tongue produces a desire to change the worldly intake by resisting corrupting influences. What Tim was sharing about earlier, he's talking about things of the world and like consider the enemy. And that stuff wants to get inside of us. But when we have a changed tongue, we'll actually not want to participate in watching certain shows or listening to certain music or participating in certain conversations. Our intake will actually change of what we desire and what we hunger for. So we're going to do is we're going to make this really practical. You know, God's goal in this is that he has a design for healthy communication, and it's worth the effort. I'm going to pass out here a half-page sheet that you can take with you, and you can look at this now. We'll review it together. So this communication tool for you is just some of the best practices that I've learned over the years and studied from different people who specialize in communication. So this is based upon the quick to listen and slow to speak scripture that we're looking at. So the first thing, when you're in a conversation with someone, ask. Be the first one to listen and to ask questions. A helpful phrase you can consider is, hey, I noticed this, or can you help me understand, or can you tell me more about? And what that does is it often disarms the person, and it puts us in a position of humility and listening. And then after they share, you can paraphrase back. Just share what you heard. And ask them, did I get that right? People will often tell you, if you didn't get it right, they will let you know right up front. And you go, oh, okay, thanks for helping me understand that better. Did I hear you say this? At the end of the day, this is the thing. People just want to feel heard and understood. And when I worked at APU, man, I deal with angry parents all the time on the phone.
And if I just listen to them and ask questions and they don't understand, they say, I feel so much better at the end of the conversation. And most of the time, like, it had nothing to do with me. They had all these issues going on in their own life, and they just wanted to take it out on someone that they would never have a relationship with, because it's sometimes easy to do that. If you follow it down, it says, listen more. Allow the person space to share what they've been misunderstood or not yet communicated. So the goal is for the person to be heard and understood, and not told they're wrong or to be blamed. And then as you're talking with people too, recognize what's going on inside of you. If you're feeling anger or anxiousness or different emotions, just recognize those. It helps us be aware of what's going on inside so that we can, it influences our communication. Clarify, ask any additional questions. Here's a key question with almost anything working with people. If you ask this question, this gets to the root of everything. Simply ask people, what do you need? What do you need? Because that goes to the core issue of what's going on inside with them. And if they can verbalize what they need, then you can help resolve the situation. Take responsibility. I share from my story. Ask forgiveness as needed and share how you will change or respond moving forward. And that's exactly what I did with one of my kiddos and wanting to change with them. And then when you make the transition, is there anything else you'd like to share before I share as well? And when you share your side of the things, I statements are really helpful. Saying you or blaming people often just causes people to put up walls. You know, I think or I feel. Communicate what happened from your perspective and share what happened and how it made you feel. Make a request to share what you need from that person in relationship. And as you are doing this, like, monitor yourself. Be honest and clear and respectful. Aware of your tone and body language. Recognize how you feel inside as you speak and distinguish between thoughts and feelings. So this is just a guide. It gives you some really helpful practical tools of the scripture today from James 1. And so I want you to just take a moment for yourself. Think of a recent communication challenge you had, either with a family member or a colleague at work or with a friend, and answer the following questions. You can either write them down or reflect, but what worked well in that communication situation? What didn't work well? And then what would you do different next time? So take like 2 minutes to reflect on that. And if you want to share your responses to that with the person next to you, feel free. And then as you wrap it up, go through those questions. If you want to write your spirit-led goal for the week in response to what you learned this morning from scriptures, what will you do in response to the scriptures? I will. And then write out what you will do. How do you want to apply this to your life this week? So all of us raised our hands earlier that we messed up in our communication along the way. And what God calls that mess up is sin. We have sin in our lives that separates us from God. And it's pretty easy to clear up. We simply ask Jesus to forgive us of those sins, and he forgives us. And sometimes we need to go to people that we've sinned against, specifically today in our communication, maybe this week, that you want to go and apologize to someone to and reconcile that relationship. And part of that reconciliation is us and God. And so that sin we talked about, doing wrong against God, separates us from God for eternity. We actually can't have a relationship with God apart from Jesus. And he came to the earth, and he lived a life without any communication issues. He never sinned against anyone in communication or in any other way. So that when he went on the cross and he died for the sins of the entire world, it's simply that anybody who asked Jesus to forgive them of their sins, forgiven instantly, and they're restored in that relationship with God. And then Jesus went to hell on our behalf for those 3 days while he was in the grave, and raised from the dead on the third day, conquering death, so we can have eternal life through him. So if you're hearing this today and you're like, man, I want to start that relationship with Jesus today. I want to be forgiven of my sins. I want to have eternal life. And I want to turn from going my own way, living for myself, living God's way. We should invite you to raise your hand if that's you. If you want to say, yeah, Jesus, I'm giving my life to you today. I want to follow you today. I want to be forgiven of my sins and have eternal life. So, amen. All right, Jaime. Yeah, love it, bro. So what we'll do is I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And you just out loud, I'm going to help you talk to Jesus. And what's cool, man, is he's going to come live in your heart. And you're going to have a relationship with him. And he loves you so much. He's going to become your best friend, which is going to be cool. And he's going to do daily life with you. He's going to become your savior, man. He's going to save you from your sin. So you'll have eternal life with Jesus. And he's going to start saving your life from circumstances and situations. Now he has permission in your life in this way. And he becomes your Lord. So when we come to believe in Jesus, we turn from living for ourselves and being our own master, our own Lord. And we say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to turn. What's the thing I was talking about earlier? I'm going to turn from what I want to do, Jesus, to start living how you want me to live. Man, and this is the best thing. You become his son. You get adopted as a son of the Heavenly Father, and you become a spiritual son. You become part of a spiritual family, and we do life together. So I'm going to, you can just repeat after me to Jesus out loud. I'm going to help you just talk with him. And you say, Jesus, I recognize that I've sinned against you, and I've sinned against other people. I ask that you forgive me my sin that I've committed against you and I've committed against other people. I thank you that you've forgiven me and that you've given me a new life through you. Thank you that I am now your son and I'm part of your family. And I believe, Jesus, that you rose from the dead and that you conquered death. And now I have eternal life through you. So Jesus, I surrender my life to you fully, all of it. I give you permission to come in and to transform me and make me more like you. And I ask that you fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your presence and that I would know your love and know your plan for me. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.